following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning, everybody. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel, and I'm really glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. Isn't it exciting to hear what Adriana is doing and what Surfing the Nations is doing and what God is doing throughout the world, and especially there in Hawaii? And I love that we get to be a part of that journey and be a part of the work that God is doing there. And I know I'm very much looking forward to hearing updates, and I think at Christmas time-ish, maybe we'll be able to talk Adriana into getting back up here and sharing some of how, you know, leadership school went and if she survived it and all that good stuff. But boy, it's exciting to hear how God is at work. It feels a bit odd, I'm not going to lie, because now we're going to continue in the book of Lamentations. And at first glance, I realize that this is an odd choice, but daily, I believe that I have heard from others or recognized through circumstances around me just how important it is for us to spend time in this book. And I think even some of what Adriana experienced and what she will continue to experience speaks to that, being able to walk in the realities of people's pain and people's suffering. The world is full of pain. That's unavoidable. Just this week, I learned, and many of you saw in the prayer emails, that Mary, our former office administrator, had surgery on Monday that went well, though she's still waiting on some results. But when she returned home, she fell and broke her ankle in three places, had to be rushed back to the hospital, had to switch ambulances on the way because she had peanut butter for dinner and her driver, her paramedic, was allergic to peanuts. And so, like, all of this in this really short span, but just this crazy pain. And now she's dealing with what the next few weeks and months are going to look like. I'm reading a book right now that focuses on the people who live in incredibly poor areas of the Appalachian Mountains in the U.S. Georgia, North and South Carolina, Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee, West Virginia, and even up into Ohio. I'm just a few dozen pages in so far, but I'm already reading about a lot of pain. Some pain inflicted by circumstance, some by personal choices, some by weather, and some by other people. But there's certainly pain there. In a prayer email I receive each week, there was almost a dozen, just this week, difficult and painful events that were highlighted. Laborers being exploited in China, India, North Korea, South Sudan, and Sudan. Thousands killed and millions displaced because of civil war in Yemen. The 65 victims of a capsized river cruise ship in China. A wave of bomb blasts in Thailand. The incredible and devastating flooding in Louisiana. A number of wildfires burning all over California. For victims of human trafficking rescued in Maryland, and for the 218 schoolgirls in Nigeria kidnapped by Boko Haram, and for Syria. I imagine many of us saw the heartbreaking photo of the young boy, Amran, from Aleppo, Syria, a little boy covered in dust, in dirt, and in blood, a little boy who has seen horrors that no one should have to see. And a little boy who became, like Elon Kurdi, a difficult but an important reminder of the all-too-real pain in our world. The world experiences pain. Pain on a personal level, pain on a corporate level, and a communal level. Physical pain, emotional pain, and spiritual pain. And as we, as followers of Christ, seek to reach our world with the truth and joy and peace of the love of Jesus Christ, we have to do that in a way that is real, in a way that is authentic, and in a way that makes people know that we are with them and we are for them. And to do that in a way that is really felt and experienced, we have to be able to give voice to our own experiences of pain. Whether that pain is experienced in our own lives, whether that's physical, emotional, or spiritual, or even pain that we feel and see in images of devastation in our community or around the world. We have to learn to express our own pain and give others then the safety and the arena to express their pain. We know that the Bible does not shy away from expressions of pain, though sometimes we in our reading of it tend to, because it doesn't feel good. We read over and over stories of people crying out to God in pain. 40% of the book of Psalms includes lament. 40%. That's not the 40% we read most often. And here in this book that we're engaging in together, we see the power and the value and the need to pour out to God our cries and our shouts and our screams and our sobs of lament. And so we're going to continue in that this morning. I don't want to spend too much time going back through the history and the context, but if you missed last week, you should definitely listen to last week's sermon on our website because I go through some of the history and context. But the basics are this. The Book of Lamentations is an incredible piece of poetry, written likely by the prophet Jeremiah shortly after watching the city of Jerusalem be completely destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 BC. So last week we looked a bit at Lamentations 1, and today we're going to look at Lamentations chapter 2. Before we get into that, let me pray. Holy God, we are so thankful for your word. Even and perhaps especially books like Lamentations, books that challenge us, books that are difficult to read, but books that help give us voice to our pain. Books that remind us that you are capable of holding all of our pain. God, we ask that you speak to us this morning, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I went back and forth about this all week. I went back and forth about this over the last 5 minutes, even. But I'm still going to read for us all of Lamentations 2. Okay? It's not all going to be up on the screen. But I want us to read all of it because I don't want to glaze over the real pain that is there. And I want us to hear and feel the power of the words written in this poetry. And a lot of that poetry comes through repetition. And it comes through saying the same things, even with different metaphors, with different illustrations, and with different emphases. So here's Lamentations chapter 2. How the Lord has covered daughter Zion with the cloud of his anger. He has hurled down the splendor of Israel from heaven to earth. He has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. Without pity, the Lord has swallowed up all the dwellings of Jacob. In his wrath, he has torn down the strongholds of daughter Judah. He has brought her kingdom and its princes down to the ground in dishonor. In fierce anger, he has cut off every horn of Israel. He has withdrawn his right hand at the approach of the enemy. He has burned in Jacob like a flaming fire that consumes everything around it. Like an enemy, he has strung his bow. His right hand is ready. Like a foe, he has slain all who were pleasing to the eye. He has poured out his wrath like fire on the tent of daughter Zion. The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up her palaces and destroyed her strongholds. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation for daughter Judah. He has laid waste his dwelling like a garden. He has destroyed his place of meeting. The Lord has made Zion forget her appointed festivals and her Sabbaths. In his fierce anger, he has spurned both king and priest. The Lord has rejected his altar and abandoned his sanctuary. He has given the walls of her palaces into the hands of the enemy. They have raised a shout in the house of the Lord on the day of an appointed festival. The Lord determined to tear down the wall around daughter Zion. He stretched out a measuring line and did not withhold his hand from destroying. He made ramparts and walls lament. Together they wasted away. Her gates have sunk into the ground. Their bars he has broken and destroyed. Her king and her princes are exiled among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. The elders of daughter Zion sit on the ground in silence. They have sprinkled dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed, because children and infants faint in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, "Where is bread and wine?" as they faint like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their lives ebb away in their mother's arms. What can I say for you? With what can I compare you, daughter Jerusalem? To what can I liken you that I may comfort you, virgin daughter Zion? Your wound is as deep as the sea. Who can heal you? The visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity. The prophecies they gave you were false and misleading. All who pass your way clap their hands at you. They scoff and shake their heads at daughter Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All your enemies open their mouths wide against you. They scoff and gnash their teeth and say, "We have swallowed her up. This is the day we have waited for. We have lived to see it." The Lord has done what he planned. He has fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He has overthrown you without pity. He has let the enemy gloat over you. He has exalted the horn of your foes. The hearts of the people cry out to the Lord, "You walls of daughter Zion, let your tears flow like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief, your eyes no rest. Arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner. Look, Lord, and consider, whom have you ever treated like this? Should women eat their offspring, the children they have cared for? Should priest and prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie together in the dust of the streets. My young men and young women have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered them without pity. As you summoned to a feast day, so you summoned against me terrors on every side. In the day of the Lord's anger, no one escaped or survived. Those I cared for and reared, my enemy has destroyed." So like last week, I want to pick out two sections that really spoke to me this week. And the first section that really stood out was verses 10 through 13. In the first nine verses, we hear about the utter destruction that has come down upon Jerusalem. We read about the walls of the city, of the temple, of the palaces, the gates, the kings, the princes, the prophets. We hear the description of what has happened. In verse 10, the poet, Jeremiah, gets more into the people. We begin to hear about how this destruction has affected the elders and the young women. And commentators suggest that by using those two extremes, the author is describing the pain of everybody. This is the whole breadth of the people of Jerusalem that are feeling this pain. Everyone, from the oldest to the youngest. In verse 11, we hear the kind of effect that has on the poet. We hear his own heart. We hear his own pain as he watches the elders and the young women with their heads bowed and sitting in silence. The poet weeps so violently that he throws up. Like, that's not a pretty picture. But I think a lot of us know that feeling, right? That like pit in our stomach. When we see something or feel something so painful that we feel it in our stomach. The poet is literally sick to his stomach over the atrocities he is seeing. The destruction of his city, the violence that has been done against his people. He weeps for the infants and babies who are innocent victims of this devastation. He hurts for them, as we read in verse 12, that these children faint in the streets as they waste away. And in verse 13, he says, "What more is there to say? What can I compare this to? This is worse than anything any of us could have ever imagined. Our wound, our pain, our hurt is as vast as the sea, and who could heal a wound that deep?" I don't think it's too much of a stretch, but one of the reasons that this stood out to me this week particularly is because of that little boy from Aleppo, that picture that has been all over the news. It's unimaginable what that boy and millions like him have had to endure. And it's a pain, it's a suffering that should make us sick to our stomachs. We lament with the world when we see pain and suffering like that. We lament with God when we see pain and suffering like that. And the poet's questions are just as appropriate, seeing and weeping over the pain of that boy, of the devastation in Syria and all the places around the world in pain. What can we compare this to? How in the world can we comfort it? Who can heal this kind of pain? That kind of pain is so great, it's as great as the sea. And then in verses 18 and 19, we begin to see what it is the poet suggests is the only thing to be done in this circumstance. We see where everything for him has to start. Verse 18 begins, "Their heart cried to the Lord." The poet cries out to the people and urges them to cry out to God from their pain. He says, "Give yourself no rest. Cry out constantly." In verse 19, he goes on to say, pour your heart out like water before the presence of the Lord. Pour it all out. Pour it out like water. Bring all of this, all of the pain, all of the heartache, all of the anger and grief and confusion, all of the uncertainty, bring it all before God. Bring the pain that you have felt individually and the pain that you witness in the lives of the children and the people who are hungry on the street. Bring all of that pain to God. The poet urges his people to bring the pain of this devastation, the pain that knows no equal, the destruction that is like anything they could have expected, to bring all of that to God. I'm struck that in this chapter, in this particular poem of Lamentations, it doesn't even for a second skip over the pain to get to something easier to handle. When I read this, I thought, well, maybe I can pair this with a part of Lamentations 3, or I can, you know, finagle this a little bit so there's, you know, something a little warmer, a little bit fuzzier to grab onto. But the poet offers no platitudes here. There is only honesty. There is only authentic pain and the expression of it. The poet put everything he was feeling at the feet of the Lord, and he urges his people to do the same. He knows that the God he worships, he knows that the God he loves, and he knows that that God, the Lord and creator of the universe, is big enough to handle all of this pain and all of his people's pain. And my prayer is that we can begin to go to God with the same kind of honesty, with all of our pain, all our individual pain, all the pain we feel as we witness injustice in the world. because I believe that in that pain, God will speak to us. And we'll see as we continue in Lamentations that for Jeremiah, God does that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, there is great pain in the world. We experience pain in our own lives. We see pain in our community and pain all around the world. Lord, that pain breaks our hearts. We hurt with our brothers and sisters who are in pain. We weep on behalf of the children who have experienced unspeakable horrors. Lord, we ask for your presence. We ask for your peace. We ask for your protection. And we ask because we know we can. Because of the gift of your great love you gave us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.